Pretty deep. I can't really say, but it's pretty deep.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Hi, and welcome to Far Betterment, the podcast where we get better from far away or further away from better. Anyway, today I'm joined by my friend's cousin, JJ, and me and JJ talk about the Navy, moving from Chicago, and various other things. He's engaged, so first of all, I want to say congratulations to him, but without further ado, here's JJ for Far Betterment. Okay, so first of all, I'm Andrew. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Andrew. Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, and thank you very much for doing this. Thanks for listening. I really appreciate that. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. When John mentioned it, I was like, oh, let me listen to it. And he introduced how you're his friend from way back in the day, even from Colorado, from high school and all that. And then how you guys all just hang out and everything. And then he showed me the podcast where he was on it with you. And then I can't remember your other friend's name. Ton?
Oh, yeah, Ton. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you guys were like just talking about how he's up next and you guys are waiting for him to get married and everything. It was really funny. So,
yeah. Ton and John have a unique relationship where they just constantly talk crap to each other all the time.
So I try to
stay out of that. I like to give John a little bit of crap talking here and there, but you know, John needs it sometimes, I think. So
yeah, I guess.
Why don't you, I guess, give me a little bit of background on you. You know, obviously we've never met or anything, so.
Right. As John said, I'm his first cousin. Our moms are sisters.
Okay.
And pretty much I grew up looking up to John. Like when we were younger, he was the one that always like took care of me and my sister, and he would come to Chicago and babysit from time to time. John would be the one person that I would look up to the most out of all our older cousins. Like it's pretty much John and his sister and his brother who are older than me. They're out of the first cousins.
Okay.
But John was always the one that I would hang out the most, even though he would pick on me or like, you know, tease me, like roughhouse with me, everything. I would always look up to him. And then his sister DJ would be the one that would just like defend me and like beat up John for me whenever I'd start crying and stuff when I was a little kid. It was really funny.
That's great.
But yeah, I mean, till today, I still look up to him. He's a great guy and I love him a lot. So, but for Chicago, I was born and raised and now I live in San Diego, not too far from John. And I'm in the military. I work in a sub. And there's a lot about everything. I'm currently getting married. My fiance is here with me. We're going to be getting married sometime in August.
Oh, congratulations.
John is going to be one of the groomsmen. So looking forward to that. And thank you.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So
you're from Chicago. And what brought you to San Diego? How old are you when you moved there?
I'm from Chicago. I am 28 years old. I just turned 28 last December. And I moved over here about a year ago. I moved here a year ago just for orders because I'm in the Navy. So
okay.
I was originally stationed in Connecticut. And then from Connecticut, we took our sub and transferred from Connecticut to all the way here. We pretty much just drove the sub for a whole month through the Atlantic, down through the Panama Canal, and then up here.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty cool. Yeah. So I joined the military when I was 25. I wanted to finish my college education, so I got my bachelor's in psychology and minor in criminology. And then afterwards, I was like, I want to be a cop, but I didn't want to be a Chicago cop. So I told my parents, I was like, I'm going to go enlist. Like, I wanted to get out of the house. I wanted to do stuff and, like, make a difference. So I said, why don't I just enlist, get the military background, and then from there on decide if I want to stay in the military or get out and then pursue law enforcement. So right now I'm just still in that military status. We'll see what happens from here.
What has your military life been like?
Up and down. I mean, no pun intended with the sub, but
sure. Sure, yeah, that's a good one, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like every other military person. They would say, like, it's hard, it's difficult, it sucks at times because we're away from home and family. But at the same time, you know, we have there's benefits, obviously. You get health care, and then you have all the military benefits and all that. And then you know you have a secure life at the moment. And I enjoy it. I like it. When I joined when I was 25, I went through the whole boot camp process. And then once I graduated, we went to A school. My A school was in Groton, Connecticut. And that's where I learned everything about subs. And then from there, that's where right after A school, they're like, hey, you guys got to take orders which boat you want to go to. And depending on the boat is where you're going to be stationed, because you could be somewhere in the East Coast or the West Coast or even in Guam.
Okay.
And I was like, man, I don't want to go to Guam. Like, it's too far. And so they're like, well, you can go to the West Coast. There's Hawaii, there's San Diego, there's Washington. And I was like, yeah, I definitely want to go to the West Coast. I don't want to be in the East Coast anymore. So when we went picking where we wanted to be or which boat, it depended on your grade status during A school. And In A school, I was in like the top 3 or 4. And I was doing really great. Yeah, I was doing really great. And I was happy, though, that I like messed up on one of my exams, because if I didn't, I would have gone number one. And the number one, the one who got number one chose San Diego. Okay. Or chose a boat that was in San Diego.
Okay.
But that boat later on, he commissioned. So he no longer went to San Diego. He had to be stationed to another boat, and the only boat that was open was where we were in Connecticut. So he never went to San Diego. He got stuck in Connecticut. So I was just like, well, man, I'm so happy I messed up that one. I got like a freebie on that. And by the time that I was choosing, I was like, man, there's no more boats in the West Coast. And my instructor was like, hey, there are boats in Portsmouth. And I was like, there's no sub base in Portsmouth. They're like, no, but there's a, we call it dry dock, where they're fixing the boats and all that. And I was just like, oh, so what does that mean? And they're like, well, after that boat's fixed, there's a potential that it might be going to San Diego or Hawaii. And I was just like, oh, I'm definitely taking those chances. So I just took that, and then I got lucky and I ended up over here.
Okay. So it kind of worked out for you. Yeah. Cause like you said, you're really close with John.
Yeah. And I was excited with that because, as soon as I found out that I was going to be in San Diego, I called John, called Mark, and I called DJ, and I was like, hey, I got on this boat. I'm currently in Portsmouth, but within like a year, I should be heading down. And they're like, really? And I was just like, yeah. And then DJ's like, oh, that's awesome, because we're going to be stationed in San Diego again. Also, because her husband is in the Marines. And I was just like, oh, that's perfect. So all of us will be here. And now we're all here. So it worked out really well.
That's awesome. How was that? So you said it took a month to get to San Diego, roughly. How was that trip?
It was rough. I mean, any type of underway or deployment that guys would go through, it's always going to be rough.
Okay.
But besides that, like, it was still fun. Like, our command will do their best to make it a quick and somewhat exciting trip where we could do some cool training stuff at the same time, get to experience new things that other people don't get to experience. So I remember when we did the trip down, it was pretty boring at first, but then we did some like cool training stuff. And then afterwards we went like through the Bahamas, which was pretty cool. Like we didn't stop or anything. We're in the water in the middle of nowhere in the Bahamas, but like just being out there and then you see the sunset and all that stuff through the periscope. It was pretty cool. And then at the same time, we got to experience going through the Panama Canal. And then, after the Panama Canal, we passed the equator, went down south a little bit to pass the equator, and then went back up, and then we went home. We came to San Diego.
What's one of the coolest things you've seen so far being in the, being on a sub? I mean, that's unique already as it is.
I never thought that I would ever be in a sub. To be honest, when I joined the military, I was like, I want to be in the sky. Like, I love flying. Like, about half our family works with United or Delta or, you know, some kind of airline. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I love flying. So I want to, maybe I could be a helicopter pilot or something, you know. And I went through the Navy and all that, and I was just like, yeah, what are the options that you have? And they're like, well, what about subs? And like, you're a really smart guy. Subs is hard to get into. And I was just like, I'll think about it. And then I thought about it. And then like some of my guys are like, no, don't do it. Some of the other guys are like, no, you should do it. Like, you get good benefits and all that stuff. And it's pretty chill. And I was just like, I know. So I just put a lot of thought into it. And then what got me the most was the type of training that it would provide for me. So I was really excited for that because when I found out that I could possibly work with like tactical stuff for the subs, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, maybe I could do that because I want to work in the law enforcement. So that'll benefit me if I ever get out of the military. And when I went through A school, I chose to be a fire control technician, which deals with all the like torpedoes, missiles and all that stuff. And pretty much deal with the electronics of it. And we also deal with the computer systems of planning out missions and all that jazz and stuff like that. And it's pretty cool. Like, it's stressful, but with the good training and practice that we've had, especially from our command, we've been doing pretty good and I enjoyed it a lot. So that's one of like the great things that I think that I experienced and that I like the most.
So do you still want to be a police officer or do you want to go in? Are you kind of like liking the military and want to be in the military for a long time?
I don't know yet. I mean, it's up and down.
Yeah.
The only thing that I don't like about military is just how I'm always away from home.
Okay.
But besides that, like, I don't mind it. Another thing that I don't really like is like, it is hands-on, like you're doing hands-on work when you're on a sub.
Okay.
But I prefer being land hands-on. Like if I was a Marine being deployed, I could be doing like hands-on stuff where I'm in combat and stuff like that. Whereas in a sub, I'm in a sub where I'm completely confined with all my guys and I'm facing a computer doing what I got to do and like, working. That's, yes, I'm hands-on and like doing like all the cool stuff that we do, mm-hmm. but I prefer the more physical interaction than being on a sub. So that's why I wanted to work with, like, to become a police officer. Hopefully, with good enough training, apply to go for SWAT or something, or become a detective because I do have my criminology, so I could like solve crimes and stuff like that. So those are just like future options that I look forward to hopefully pursuing and like getting into if I ever get out of the military, but we'll see.
How did your parents react when you told them you wanted to enlist?
Like every other parent, concerned, mm-hmm. but they're just like, you know, you're an adult, you can do whatever. And I'm just like, yeah, I want to do this, and I prefer to do something to make a difference right now and not just keep looking for something. And plus, I didn't want to be a cop in Chicago just because I didn't want to stay in Chicago anymore. I wanted to move and like get away and travel and do stuff. So I figured the military would be a good option to travel, do things, and at the same time get some military background. And then hopefully that'll help me later on in finding a future career.
So why'd you want to leave Chicago so bad? What was it about Chicago?
It wasn't, the only thing that I dislike about Chicago is the weather. I hate it so much. I hate the bipolar weather of like cold, hot, rain, snow. Like Chicago's going through Siberia right now. I ain't dealing with that. I'm so happy I'm not there right now.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah.
And then like if I was a police officer over there, like police officers, nurses, doctors, firemen, they don't technically have like, you know, snow days or days off, you know?
Mm, yeah.
You have to go to work kind of thing. It's not like if it's a business company or a store, there are stores over there that probably close down because it's not safe, you know? But then like you're a police officer, you can't say, hey, there's no work today. The police station's going to be closed. No. You kidding me?
Yeah.
So I was just like, yeah, no, I'm not working over there. I'd rather work over here, like move someplace. And San Diego is my number one. I went to San Diego State back then and for about a year. And then afterwards I was like, I gotta go move back to Chicago, buckle down a little bit. So
what's that? What's it like being on the sub itself? I just feel like I'd be like claustrophobic the whole time.
Yeah, people say that's how it is, but it's not that bad. A lot of us would say that it feels like a spaceship or like an airplane. Okay. You know, you just feel the vibration when you're going, and we're going like a pretty fast speed. But like once you're there, you like drown out everything. Like you forget that you're underwater, or you forget that you're in a sub. Like it's just basically your home. It's a place where you and all the other guys live, and you guys want to keep clean, safe, and protect so that we get home safe.
What's this is a weird question, but what's the deepest like that you've ever been like in the ocean?
Pretty deep. I can't really say, but it's pretty deep.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So you can't say because that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's crazy though. Was that like scary? I don't know. That to me is like, you have to be very brave.
Right. When I first joined the crew, obviously I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I was just like, oh, I graduate A school. I know some stuff that I need to know. Now it's for actual hands-on. They're going to be training me. They're going to be pushing me, teaching me everything that I need to know. And it was exciting. I went through some rough patches, obviously, during our training, when I first got to the crew, but after learning everything and like getting to know the guys and everything like that, they helped support me. They helped, teach me what I need to know so that we could be safe and so that we could be able to fight the fight if ever it comes. And hopefully not, but what do you call it? They taught us so many things, and they still continue to teach us new things every day, just to better improve ourselves so that we could be better than other boats in a sense, so that we can make sure that we come home safe.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely the number one priority. You kind of touched a little bit on your job. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you do on the sub?
Okay, yeah. So I'm a fire control technician. Nothing to do with controlling fire. It's just it's our labeled term. Pretty much, we would be in charge with planning missions, doing all the tactical work. We ensure that the boat is sub-safe and make sure that when we're traveling underwater, we don't crash into other boats, surface boats, that is, and subs. Hopefully, okay. We never meet another sub. Basically, we just make sure that when we're underwater, we don't crash into anything. We're making sure that everyone is safe while everyone on our boat is either resting, sleeping, and then our crew, our part of the crew would be working. Like we have like shifts where we take turns, and obviously one shift will be sleeping and resting, one shift will be having some R&R time a little bit or doing some maintenance, and then the other shift would be on the watch. And if you're on the watch, you're pretty much making sure that the boat doesn't crash into anything, making sure there's no other threats around the area. And at the same time, while we're on watch, we'd be training because we always want to maintain that 100%, what do you call it? Like 100% ready. Like you're always ready for anything and always knowing what you need to know so that you could fight any type of casualty.
So that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. I mean, like all of us have great responsibility on the boat. I think the most important responsibility that we all have is making sure that we can come home. Like that's the number one thing that we always tell each other on the sub. It's funny because for us sub guys, we have like our own like sub rules. And rule number one for all of us, we always tell each other this is don't die on a sub. So obviously for all of us, we always train hard, and it's not only training hard for our specific job, but we also train hard in knowing how to fight casualties, such as if there's ever a fire on the boat, on our sub, or if there's ever a gas leak, or if there's ever flooding, or I don't know, if we ever crash into anything, like all those stuff, we are completely trained to fight those types of casualties so that we know what to do and we know that we need to surface and come home at, you know, safe and sound and not die in a boat, not die in a sub.
What are some, I mean, obviously people have all seen movies and stuff about submarines. What are some of the things people get wrong about them?
Submarines?
Mm-hmm. Or just that job in general?
I don't know, actually. I've never heard anything outside. And if I have, it's just crossing my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, a lot of the surface guys will, by surface, I mean those who aren't subs,
mm-hmm.
They'll be like, oh, you're a sub. And then I was just like, I never understood the term back then, like how they'd react. And it'd be pretty funny. Like they don't mean it in a bad way, at least sometimes, but, it's like a teasing kind of thing. It's like, oh damn, you're a sub. It's like, no wonder. I think I'd be like, what does that mean? Kind of thing. And they like, eventually once I've gone through and like, I got my sub, sub warfare device and everything. And I learned the ropes and I know I know what I need to know for submarines. I was just like, okay, now I understand what all these guys who are on the surface, like say, like how they say it and like how they tease and react to it. It's because the sub community is completely different. I mean, we live together, work together, and we're confined in a submarine that's way smaller than a carrier. A carrier can carry like thousands of people. A submarine carries less than 200.
Oh, wow.
Way less.
I didn't realize
200.
That.
Yeah, we carry. So it's like the amount of people that's on a submarine. If you're ever to go on a submarine, you would be like, man, this is so small. This carries about 150 to 200 people. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, if we need to fit people, we need to fit people. And, it's pretty cool at the same time, because you get to know the people around you better. Uh-huh. Whereas if you're in a carrier, you only get to know a certain amount of people. Like there's thousands of people on a carrier and you only work on a certain part of that carrier.
Okay.
Like you would probably get, like me, I would get lost in the carrier. I wouldn't know where to go except to know where I live, where I work, where the shower is, and then where to eat. But like there's all these other different rooms on, like in the huge carrier, that I have no idea about, or like how to get there. I'd probably get lost. Whereas in a submarine, like it's such a smaller boat that you have to learn you have to almost learn everything about that boat just so that you know what to do when to fight a casualty. Like if you don't know it, you ask so that in the future, you know, that way, if that person who's not there for like, say like back then, when I was like brand new on the boat, mm-hmm. I didn't know anything, but there was a valve that I didn't know about. And I was like, oh man, this is loose. What do I do? So, I was like, oh no, it's like, I don't think this is really loose, but I didn't know. So I ran to someone and I was just like, hey, what do I do? Like, this is really loose. And the guy's like, oh, don't worry about it. That's fine. It's supposed to be like that. And I was like, really? It's like, it seems like it's leaking. He's like, no, it's supposed to. And then my chief calls me and he goes, hey, good job asking. I don't want you to, like, it's good that you ask and not immediately touch it, because you could touch something on the boat, like turn a valve that you're not supposed to touch, and it could possibly harm the people on the boat. And I was just like, oh shoot, I'm sorry, chief. Like, I'm glad I was able to ask. Thank you. And he's like, no, you did a good thing. Like, make sure you ask first. So now that I know that, and if the guy that I've asked is not no longer on the boat anymore, like what if that guy wasn't on boat anymore and I didn't know who to ask?
Yeah. Because
I'm the senior person now. So at least now I could pass that on to someone, since I'm the senior person. I'll be like, oh yeah, no, don't touch that. No, this is why, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll be like, oh, okay, cool. You know, because there's always certain things that goes around a boat. Like there's things that you should and shouldn't do, and always have to ask questions and stuff like that.
So they're pretty supportive and stuff. On a submarine, I guess. Because
yeah, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
So you were saying, I mean, it's a lot different than
that. And yep. And we also, like I said, since it's a small crew, we get to know the crew a lot better. I know everyone on our boat. Like we hang out, we go places, we do things together, and it just becomes like a small, well, not technically small, but it becomes a big submarine family. Mm-hmm. Because you get to know the people there, not just people who are the same ranking as you, but people who are like lower or higher ranking. You get to know your chiefs better. You get to know your senior chiefs, your mess chief. You get to know the officers. You get to know the captain. And it's pretty cool, because the captain, on our boat, at least, puts effort into getting to know his crew. And I've had two captains so far, and both captains have been pretty good captains. They've been great captains. They get to know you. They're supportive. They acknowledge the good work that you do. So that's pretty awesome to see. Whereas I understand if you were a captain of a carrier, it's hard to maintain and, you know, get to know 5,000 people or 6,000, whatever.
Oh yeah.
Like you won't remember everyone's name. It's going to be hard. Like the only reason why you'd remember their name is if you see their name tag, or if they've done something significant to like catch your eye.
Yeah.
Whereas yeah, there's all those, it's same thing applies with a sub. Yeah, you get the name tag, do something significant and whatnot. But because it's smaller, everyone gets to know each other and we get to joke around. We get to have some fun. We get to, at the same time, train. And sometimes there'll be people in the crew where it's just like, man, that guy's lazy. That guy sucks, whatnot. And then, but then we're just like, yo, we gotta make this right. We need to fix this. We need to help him to be better. And it's just a tight-knit community being in a sub, and you could tell there's a huge difference at times. At least that's what I see. Okay. I'm not sure what other people will think. Like especially other submariners or other military people who are surface or whatnot. Like I'm sure they have their own opinions, but to me, being in a sub is a blessing and a curse, because you get to know everyone, you get to be close knit, you get to be cool with people. Whereas if I was in a surface, yeah, I'd be pretty close knit with some guys, certain people, like certain amount of people and stuff like that. But the close knit that I would have with, say, an officer in the surface and an officer in submarines would be different, just because I've noticed submarine officers, they still act accordingly. They're still responsible. They're still do their jobs. They train us and teach us things. But at the same time, they're pretty chill and laid back, where they could have a normal conversation and they mess around and like be like, Santiago, you're like, fix that, and like joke around with me like on my screen and whatnot. And I'd be like, aye, aye, sir, I got you. And like, well, it's like the lingo would be pretty laid back. Whereas if I've noticed, for me, when I speak to officers who are surface, it's like, yes, sir. Aye, aye, sir. Yes, sir. Like, it's all simple, basic, where you have to be 100% polite and 100% like always at attention kind of thing when you talk to them. It's really weird, but I think it's just because with the sub life, since it's very difficult and it's very different, especially since we don't get that much sunlight or daylight or whatnot, because we're underwater a lot. It like everyone just tries to cope by being ourselves and being able to communicate and like be cool with one another. Whereas if you're in the surface, like I don't know why, but I guess just because the responsibility is bigger, maybe, or not even, I don't even think the responsibility is bigger. Responsibility is equal among surface and subs, but I think it's just the morale in general. It's just the morale of how we're underwater. This sucks. People on the surface, they could go outside, like go on the deck, possibly get some fresh air, have some sunlight, you know, whereas, and then the morale is just different. So obviously with subs, people would be a little bit more lenient and laid back to work with one another. And then we get to know each other more.
What's one of the most exciting things you've got on a sub? Or just being in the military in general?
Most exciting things is doing all these underways, like these underways that that have like cool training stuff. So we did some cool training things that about a year ago. We got to do some cool missile training stuff, and it was pretty cool. The Navy Times put it on their news on how USS Annapolis did their missile training, and it was a success and all that. And I was, me and my guys were the ones working on that. Like, we were the one that planned a missile to shoot out, and it was a dud, but we still shot it out of the boat. And it was pretty cool that we got to experience and see a missile shoot out of a submarine. Like, not everyone gets to do that. So that was pretty cool. And then also, we did a what do you call it? We did a Iron Island, or kind of like it's kind of like basically we bring the boat to the surface and everyone gets to swim outside.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
We brought the boat to the surface. Yeah, we brought the boat to the surface, and we're like miles away from Florida, and we just went swimming and we all had a great time. And after that, the next, like a day or two later, our captain was like, "Hey, for your great hard work and everything like that, we want to have a weekend. I want you guys to enjoy a weekend in Mayport, Florida." So we ported at Mayport for a weekend, and I got to see my uncle and some of my cousins. And then I also got to hang out with the guys, and we went to like bars and just had some food, relaxed and everything, and enjoyed Florida for a weekend. And afterwards, got back on the sub and went back up to Connecticut. This is before we moved to San Diego.
Okay. Well, how long ago did you move to San Diego, did you say?
We moved to San Diego last year, around this time, actually.
Okay. And where'd you meet your fiance?
Oh, I met my fiance in high school. We were not high school sweethearts, but we met freshman year. One of our friends was one of our close friends invited me to go to this after school club, and I was like, "Oh yeah, definitely." And I didn't want to miss an opportunity to hang out with a new friend my freshman year, and I was just like, "You know, I wanted to expand and like do stuff." And like, my friend was like, "Hey, there's a club. It's a dance club. Do you want to come with?" And I'm not really a dancer, but I was like, "Yeah, sure, you know, what the heck." So I went with him, and when I went with him, he opens the door and he starts talking to someone, and I was just like, "Who's he talking to?" And my friend's taller than me, so I was literally right behind him. And next thing you know, I see this girl. She like peeks her head on the side. She goes, "Oh, who's this?" And I look at her and I was like, "Wow, she's pretty." And that's how I met my fiance. We didn't date. We did date. When I first met her, we dated for a bit, but then we broke up, and that was all on me because I was just immature and all that. But after that, our sophomore year, we became closer friends again our sophomore year, and then eventually it just became like a really, really close friendship that it came to the point where I'd be like, "Hey, Maymay, help me out. There's this cute girl over there. Can you like get me her number, blah, blah, blah." So she was basically my wing woman at the time. And she'd be like, "Oh my God. Yeah, sure." And, eventually she pretty much knows all the girls that I liked or all the girls that I've dated. And then eventually, senior year came, and I was like, I was single, and I was just focusing on my high school and all that, and waiting to go to college and everything like that. But senior year, obviously there's prom. So I was like, "Dang, who am I going to take to prom?" And I was just like, "Maymay doesn't have a date. I'll take her out to prom." So I asked Maymay, and I was like after prom is when we actually hit it off and we just started dating. And from then on, we've been together for 10 years. Yeah. So even though I went to San Diego State and we had to deal with a long distance for a whole year, it sucked, but I was able to fly home and surprise her. And sometimes she'd fly over, and surprise me. And, we just made it work. And then we had to make it work once I was in the military, and she would come visit me like once a month while I was in the military, kind of thing. Cause she knew that it was hard for me to fly out. So, but pretty much, yeah, that's how we like started off. We've been together ever since senior year of high school. And then I proposed to her, 2 years ago. Yeah. 2 years ago. The only reason why we haven't gotten married yet is just because it's really hard, with my job, with being on wind on it. So now that everything's settled down a little bit, we're going to be having our wedding in August.
Well, again, congratulations. I think that's great.
Yeah. I mean, thank you.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you.
God, 10 years. That's a long time.
It is. Yeah. I never knew that stick for so long. And then eventually it just came to the point where I was just like, I really love this girl. I'm gonna marry her. Like, I've known it for a long time. I'm pretty sure that I've known after like year 2, 3, or 4. I was just like, man, I really love this girl. But the thing is, we were both still in college. She was in college to become a nurse. I was in college to get my psychology and criminology degree. And I was like, there's no way we're going to get married with like our college, all the college loans that we have to pay off and everything like that. So I was just like, I told myself, I'm not going to propose not until I'm settled and like have a set career kind of thing where I know I could support her. And now she's a nurse. She works here in San Diego. She works at Rady's Children's Hospital. And I work in the military, and we're both financially stable, able to take care of ourselves and stuff like that. So when I proposed to her, I called her brother and I was like, hey, I understand that, you understand that me and Meme have been together for so long. Now that I'm financially stable, able to take care of myself and I know I could take care of her, I wanted to get your permission to marry Meme. And she's like, or he was like, oh wow, yeah, definitely. And her brother was the first person I asked before I asked parents, just because it's her brother. It's no disrespect to her parents. Yeah. I like her parents. I love her parents. They're awesome. But I guess because I'm a brother, I would, if my sister ever, had a chance to get married, I would want that guy to ask me first before the parents, just because the brother is usually is much closer to their siblings, you know?
Yeah. That's like very cool.
You would get to know people. Yeah.
That's very cool. I've never looked at it that way. I've got two younger brothers, so you know, that situation would never come up for me. But I have a daughter and two sons. So now that you've said that, you know, I kind of hope that that happens for my daughter. If that were ever the case, I think that's very cool. Actually,
hopefully. I mean, I'm pretty sure your sons would be protective of your daughter or, you know, whatnot. So that's why I'm pretty sure that hopefully that your daughter would be more open to talk to your sons about her private life, about whatever. So that's why I was like, you know, I got to ask her brother. I'm pretty sure her brother knows more about her sister than the parents do sometimes, just because, you know, you don't tell your parents everything.
Yeah.
You still keep some things, but if you have brothers or you have sisters, you'd be like, hey bro, or hey sis, you know, this is going on. What do I do? And usually it's your brother or your sister that will be the person that gives you advice or like tells you you're stupid kind of thing. And they'll just be like, you got to do this or you should do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought better to ask the brother first. And then after asking the brother and getting his blessing, I asked the parents, and which that's what I did.
So was she waiting? Was she waiting for you? You know, it's 10 years down the road now, or I guess it was 8 at this point, right? Roughly.
Yeah.
So was she waiting?
Yeah. She was, everyone was, entire family was. Her parents laughed when I asked them, because they're like, oh my God, finally. And her dad was just like laughing and he's like, hee 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 kind of thing. And I was just like, oh thank God, like this went way better than I thought. But I don't know why I had any doubts. I didn't really have doubts, but I was still nervous, you know, it's nerve wracking to ask for blessings and stuff.
Sure.
But it was funny when I asked, and all her cousins were like, oh my God, you're going to be asking. And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to be asking. So, and it worked out pretty well. And, I was really happy. She and I, we've talked about marriage when we were dating back then, but we both knew that college had to go first, and then we had to have a set career, which it worked out. And then she said, she actually told me that while I was in the military, every month that she would come visit me when she had the chance, she would actually be waiting and expecting me to propose, because, you know, we finished our set plan of getting a college degree and then having a set job,
yeah,
and being financially stable. So she said one time we went to New York. I took her to a trip to New York, because Connecticut to New York is like 2 hours about. So took her and we had a great time, and then we went back home and she flew back home. And then 2 months later, she came back, and 2 months later is when I actually proposed. And I told her, the way I proposed was, I said, "Hey, do you remember our friend Beth? She's trying to build her photography portfolio." And she knew about this like back then too, which is why she thought that's why I was going to propose in New York.
Oh,
but it never happened.
Oh no.
So she was just like, oh, like in her mind, she's like, oh, she's going to use Bethany as an excuse to take pictures while I propose. And, you know, in New York, you know, New York's beautiful, like the city, like I could propose somewhere like maybe, Central Park or something. And I was like, I actually didn't think about that, because I wasn't really thinking about proposing in New York. I was thinking more so at like a beach, which is what I did. So 2 months later, I told Bethany, I said, "Hey, do you still want to do your portfolio with me and Mimi's pictures?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, definitely." And I had my buddy Leovano. Leovano knew that I was going to propose. Bethany didn't. Bethany didn't know I was going to propose. So I just used it. I used it exactly how Mimi thought I would. But Mimi at the time was like thinking, "Oh, this is really just for Bethany for a portfolio, because last time she was going to do it and she showed me all her work and all that. Like JJ is not going to propose right now." And I was just, and it worked out too, because I bought a motorcycle right, like during those 2 months, because I saved up and everything. I saved up for a ring and for a bike. So I surprised her with a bike and I said, "Ta-da, like I got a motorcycle," just like how I said I always wanted to get a motorcycle. So in her head, she said, she's like, "Damn it, this damn guy, he bought a motorcycle. He doesn't have money to buy me a ring that they bought a motorcycle." So she literally was just frustrated and pissed in her head. She's like, "Damn, she's not going to propose. He bought a bike rather than, you know, buying me a ring. You know, he's not ready. He doesn't want, you know." And little did she know, 2 days later, we did the portfolio, like we did the photo shoot that my friend was asking. And we went to Ocean Beach, not Ocean Beach in San Diego. There's an Ocean Beach here, but Ocean Beach in Connecticut. And it was going great. Like we took pictures and everything. And my friend Leovano was just like, "Oh, I'm so excited, dude." And I said, "Yeah, here's my phone, record it." And on the last 5 minutes of our photo shoot, I said, "Hey, this is perfect. The sun is like is rising like nicely," because we did it early in the morning when the sun, during sunrise. And my buddy started recording, and I got down on one knee and I proposed, and she was super surprised. Like she had no idea, because after proposing later that night, she's like, "I thought you weren't going to propose. You bought a new motorcycle. I thought this photo shoot was literally for Bethany, because last time I was here, Bethany, and then I thought you're going to propose in New York. Like you made this whole big trip. You made this whole big deal about going to New York, doing some fun things. And we had a great time." And she was like, "But you didn't propose." And I was just like, "Well, aren't you happy that I proposed like this, where you had no idea at all?" And then she's like, "Yeah, I really didn't have any idea." And it was funny, because I called her cousins too before she flew to me. I said, "Hey, make sure that she like she does her nails," because that's one thing too. She told me that every time she'd come over every month, she'd make sure that her nails look pretty, you know, in case I did propose, so she could take nice pictures and everything.
Okay.
And that 1 week, that 1 month, she said, I remember, because she was like, "I don't think I'm going to do my nails this month." Because I think she just like was done with anticipating and everything. And the one time, obviously, she's done anticipating, I'm just like, oh, girl, I'm about to propose. You need to have your nails done and everything. Because I didn't want her to get mad and be like, dang it, the one time I didn't do it. So I called her cousin and I was like, GJ, hey, GJ, you have to make sure she paints her nails. Like, have her paint her nails white. And then she's like, GJ's like, oh, that's right. And she's like, wait, Han doesn't want to get her nails done? I was like, no, apparently she doesn't want to get done. And like, if she doesn't get it done, she's going to be disappointed at herself because the one time that she needs her nails to look pretty and everything, it's not pretty. So I put the effort into making sure that she had everything done. She looked nice. She got everything she needed and it worked out. She proposed and she was just like, that's why my cousins wanted me to get my nails done and everything. I was like, yeah, because they were all in on it. They wanted to make sure that everything was perfect during the proposal. And then it worked out.
That's good though. I like that. I like the,
yeah,
the
it was a lot. It was really hard, but I figured since the proposal was like mainly the guy thing, I wanted to make sure that was perfect, not only for myself, but for her too. So I worked super hard on it and it worked out pretty well too. Like if you ever get a chance to look at my Instagram, we have our, that proposal video and our story down there. And if you were to look at it, my buddy was recording it. And he mentioned it too. He said, dude, that was like a perfect proposal because when you proposed, the waves was literally creeping up to your feet and your knee. And by the time you stood up to hug her and kiss her after proposing, the water reached your feet, like where you were kneeling. So basically if you hadn't have gotten up like in that split second, you would have gotten soaked by the wave. And I was just like, oh, that's pretty dope. Like I was just like perfect timing. So I felt like it was just perfect.
So you guys got engaged and you're living in San Diego now. And so what are you guys like, describe your relationship to me. And you know, like hobbies, stuff like that.
She and I were pretty laid back and chill. We love being at like, we love being active. We love going out. I'm a huge Comic-Con kind of nerd. I love reading comics and like anime and all those stuff. And she actually grew into all my hobby kind of stuff of those stuff where, like Batman and Robin, all those things. I'm a huge Nightwing fan. And, she would always like take effort into understanding which superheroes I like and why I like them. And she, excuse me, she likes anime also. And like, she started to grow into liking superheroes. Excuse me. And she likes Sailor Mars and all those stuff. So like, we just clicked on a lot of like nerdy, goofy, geeky things. And we were really into doing foodie stuff. So we like going out, trying new food. We also like going to breweries and trying beers and different liquor and stuff like that. So it's pretty good. We love to travel a lot. Like I said, when I was in Connecticut, I took advantage of it when I was stationed there because I took her to, I took her around Connecticut and then took her to New York. And then I took her to Boston once. But me in general, when I was there, I would go to Boston, New York, Connecticut. I even went to Pennsylvania at one point. And then I was also went up to Maine. So I just wanted to explore everything. And she loves doing that as well. And she's a dancer. Like I said, when I first met her, I went with my friend to that dance club. And she's an amazing dancer. She loves doing traditional dancing and she dances traditional Filipino dances. Oh, excuse me, I need some water.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, she loves to dance. And she loves always doing all these different makeup stuff and she like her vanity is filled with a lot of makeup, not just because not so much expensive makeup, but just like makeup that she would get from BoxyCharm and all those like unboxing stuff that she would get for cheap. And she also loves to go to amusement parks all the time. And I love going to those stuff too. We love going to like Six Flags or Disney, Universal. It's pretty cool.
Well, and you live in like a really perfect place to be able to do those things too.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And like, we want to try going to LA one time. We've lived here for a year, but since my schedule has just been so busy, our traveling has kind of haltered a bit, especially since we're trying to save up for the wedding. One of these days we're probably going to take some time off and like go to LA and just explore Hollywood and all that. So
that'd be super cool.
We recently got a dog. So he's a blue nose pit. His name is Theodore from Alvin and Chipmunks, little brother Theodore. So he's a really loyal dog, really, really small and exciting and really goofy. People think he's super cute. So worked out when we got him because he's been a really good like support dog where we could just relax and like, you know how like people say when you have a pet, it's just much more relaxing where you could have them there even though you don't really have to talk to them. It's just comforting to hug like a stuffed animal, but in this case it's a dog.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that do we what?
No, go ahead, sorry.
There's a lot of things that she and I have in common, a lot of things that we have different, but all in all we both work and we both try our best to try our best to learn and enjoy each other's passions and each other's hobbies. I literally had to join the dance club just to get to know her because I liked her. I joined her. She was when we were in college, she was a president for FIA, which is Filipino American Club. When she was there, she was also the cultural coordinator teaching all the dances. So I would put effort into learning the dances, not only because we were dating, but because I wanted to learn stuff that she knows, and it's fun. And then she does the same thing for me. I'm very passionate about martial arts. I love martial arts a lot. And she would ask me, hey, can you teach me self-defense or teach me some of your martial arts forms and stuff like that. And I was just like, oh yeah, definitely. So it's just like, I think that's one of the things that I love about her is that she puts into a lot of effort into what I love and understands that I put a lot of effort into what she loves as well.
So what keeps you going every day? What motivates you?
What keeps me going every day?
Yeah.
To be honest, it's everything. Her, where we are right now, how far we've come together. I mean, she supported me and helped out with so much, and she's taken care of me so much. And I want to return the favor to her. I want to take care of her. I want to make sure that we can live a happy life. And the only way I could do that is just to wake up every day and make sure that I do what I need to do. I need to make sure that I work out, make sure that I go to work, make sure that things go well so that hopefully I can get promotion or whatnot. You know, I just want to make sure that our life is set together. I don't want to one day look back and regret anything that I've done. I want to make sure that I'm always putting 100% or more into whatever it is I do. That way, when I get old, I'm like, I look back and I'm just like, life was fun. Life was great. I have no regrets whatsoever. And that's what I try my best to do. And I just look forward to waking up, seeing her, go to work, come back, see her again, and then come back. And as well, not only seeing her, but seeing my family, like seeing John, DJ, Mark, being able to see our nieces or our other cousins out of town who are out of town. My parents, her parents. I mean, it's basically, for me, I guess it's family. Like, that's the one thing that motivates me to continue and like to live my life.
Oh, I love that. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
No, yeah, I think that's incredible. What would you say is, what's your biggest fear?
My biggest fear?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. I never really think of it. I mean, I guess my biggest fear would be being alone. Like not just alone as in like I'm secluded or whatnot, but I mean like alone as in like I lose everyone around me, or lose myself in like, I don't know. That's a hard question. I feel like being alone and not having anyone there to who you could have your back, or not being able to see the people who you care about anymore. Because once you lose sight of, like, for example, I said family is a big motivator. Once I lose sight of my motivation or reason of why I'm continue living, it's just, why continue living then if I don't have any of that?
Yeah, I totally understand that. That makes perfect sense to me. Here's a question. This includes myself as well. How would you, or what's an important thing that you would like people to know about you, for everybody, you know, listening and myself?
Important thing about me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's, I don't know what something important, but, I'm very open. I love meeting new people. Both my fiance and I, we love to have a lot of fun. We love to, get to know other people. So for instance, this right here, I'm really glad to have, met and spoke with you, Andrew. So it's pretty cool. Hopefully we can meet in person one day. Whenever you come and visit John.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I guess one thing important would be, getting to know me. If you guys were get to know me a lot better, a lot more than how much you guys possibly know right now from this podcast, that once we get to know each other, hopefully we could form a great friendship, a great bond, and like be able to continue being great friends afterwards. Like, I enjoy meeting new people. I enjoy having new friends and being able to have these awesome connections with people. So I think that's one important thing that people could get to continue learning about me. And, hopefully one day, whoever's listening, we could be friends or not. So it'd be pretty cool.
I like that. And just from my end, you know, and the getting to know people part, I, you know, I'm honored that you wanted to do this. And, you know, I appreciate that you wanted to do this, because it blows me away when people ask me to be on. And, it, I don't know if people understand like how much that means to me or how shocked I am and how very like cool it is. And you know, just from doing this with you, first of all, what I take from you, is that yes, you like meeting new people for sure. I mean, and you told your story so well, and it sometimes it's hard to get that out of people. But you know, you're absolutely an open person, and you seem like you're very loyal, and I could appreciate loyalty in anybody. You don't see a lot of that nowadays. And the love you have for your family and your friends, I think, really comes through. And that, you know, just in the short time we've spoken. So to me, you know, that makes me want to get to know you even more and get to know you in person. So I thank you for doing that. And I appreciate you being so open with me and
you know, thank you.
Letting me in, you know, that's really
definitely
cool.
No, thanks.
But
yeah, my fiance actually, when she heard that I was gonna be on this, she's like, oh, well, that's cool. I want to be on a podcast, so maybe I'll let her know, and then John could hit you up if you need another person one day.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, that'd be awesome. I would, you know what?
Yeah.
If we're gonna do that, I want to try this. I want you to tell me how you would think she'd describe you, and then I'm gonna ask her the same question.
How she would describe me?
Yeah.
I think she would say that, like, I think she would say that I'm very, very goofy, silly, and at the same time, very protective and, like, as you said, loyal. And I hope she'd say these things. I'm not really sure. But I mean, but some of those stuff have to be that she's marrying me.
I hope so. But, it sounds like you guys really, you didn't rush into it. I mean, you know, you want to be together. So I think she would definitely say that.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure she wanted to make sure. And I didn't want to be in a rush with something so important.
Oh, exactly.
I wanted to, like, even, like, to me, I believe that if you love someone, it doesn't mean you got to get married at all. It's like, you could still be with that person for years and love them, but it doesn't mean you got to get married. Marriage is just another step that you're taking to portray and expand in your love. That's all. So, but yeah, I'm definitely excited for our wedding day.
Well, congratulations again. I'm very excited for you guys. I think that's great. Well, thank you again. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.